Previously on Twin Peaks.
She's dead. Wrapped in plastic.
Laura Palmer.
Diane, 11:30 a.m., February 24th. Entering the town of Twin Peaks. Looks like I'll be meeting up with Sheriff Harry S. Truman. Shouldn't be too hard to remember that.
This is Special Agent Dale Cooper.
FBI.
Right. There are irrefutable similarities that, for obvious reasons I cannot discuss, that lead us to conclude that Laura Palmer was the second and Ronette Pulaski would have been the third victim of the same killer.
Did you shoot this video, Bobby?
No.
Well, if you didn't, then who did?
Dr. Lawrence Jacoby, Agent Cooper. Laura was a patient of mine.
Here's something we haven't seen before. A mound of dirt approximately a foot and a half in diameter. On the top is a gold necklace with a gold heart. Correction, half a gold heart. Sheriff, you and I've got to find out who's got the other half of that heart.
You have to give me the other half.
No, we'll bury it.
Donna, who are you protecting?
Now, there is a chance that the person who committed these crimes is someone from this town. Possibly even someone you know. Diane, 6:18 a.m., room 315. Great Northern Hotel up here in Twin Peaks. Slept pretty well. Non-smoking room, there's no tobacco smell. That's a nice consideration for the business traveler. A hint of Douglas fir needles in the air. As Sheriff Truman indicated they would, everything this hotel promised, they've delivered. Clean, reasonably priced accommodations. Telephone works, bathroom in really tip-top shape, no drips, plenty of hot water, and good steady pressure. That could be a side benefit of the waterfall outside my window. Mattress fir, but not too firm, and no lumps, like that time I told you about down in El Paso. What a nightmare that was. But of course, you've heard me tell that story once or twice, haven't you, Diane? Haven't tried the television set yet. Looks like cable, probably no reception problems. But the true test of any hotel, as you well know, Diane, is that morning cup of coffee. I'll be getting back to you about within a half hour. Diane, it struck me again earlier this morning. There are two things that continue to trouble me, and I'm speaking now not only as an agent of the Bureau, but also as a human being. What really went on between Marilyn Monroe and the Kennedys? And who really pulled the trigger on JFK?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You know, this is, excuse me, a damn fine cup of coffee. I've had I can't tell you how many cups of coffee in my life, and this is one of the best. Now, I'd like two eggs over hard. I know, don't tell me, it's hard on the arteries, but old habits die hard, just about as hard as I want those eggs. Bacon, super crispy, almost burned, cremated. That's great. And I'll have the grapefruit juice. Just as long as those grapefruits are freshly squeezed.
My name's Audrey Horn.
Federal Bureau of Investigation, Special Agent Dale Cooper.
Can I sit here?
Well, Miss Horn, unless I miss my guess, your father is Benjamin Horn, the owner of this fine establishment. So I imagine you can sit anywhere you'd like. I'd also like to add, it would be my pleasure.
Thank you. You're here investigating the murder of Laura Palmer.
Were you friends with Laura Palmer?
Not exactly. See, Laura tutored my older brother Johnny 3 times a week. Johnny's 27 and he's in the 3rd grade. He's got emotional problems. Runs in the family. Do you like my ring?
Very nice.
You know, sometimes I get so flushed. It's interesting. Do your palms ever itch?
I look for him in the conference room. Hey, 3 for 3. Sheriff, let's get James Hurley up from cell 4 and talk to him straight. He was in love with Laura Palmer. My bet is she told him whatever dirt she knew about Mike and Bobby and who knows what else. Then let's have a little chat with those two perpetrators. Let's also run a top to bottom on Bobby's vehicle, see what that brings us. We'll also check on the autopsy on Laura Palmer and see what that brings in. Oh, we're also gonna wanna talk to Mr. and Mrs. Palmer, but let's give them a few days to deal with their grief. Now, I've got the rest of our day mapped out. Let's meet back here in 3 minutes. Harry, I really have to urinate. Oh, by the way, coffee at the Great Northern? Incredible.
Harry, as you know, I delivered Laura. I've known her all her life. She was my daughter's best friend. I couldn't bring myself to do the post-mortem, so I called Joe Fielding in from Fairvale. He did the work. I assisted. This is what he found. Time of death estimated to be between midnight and 4 a.m. What killed her? Loss of blood. Numerous shallow wounds, no single one serious enough to have caused death. Bite marks on her shoulders, also on her tongue. Probably self-inflicted. Lesions on wrists, ankles, upper arms where she was bound. We're waiting on the toxicological tests for drug use. Within the last 12 hours, she'd had sexual relations with at least 3 men.
You've examined Ronald Pulaski as well?
Yes, sir. There's no question in my mind the same perpetrator attacked both of them in that train car.
Doc, when, if ever, will Ronald be able to talk to us?
She had a severe head injury. It's still early to tell. Add to that the psychological impact of the fear. Probably witnessing what was happening to Laura before she... So beautiful. Wouldn't do a thing like that.
phone number should be here any sec. Leo?
Did you finish cleaning my boots?
Yeah, I did them, and I did the laundry, too.
All of it?
Well, yeah.
No, you didn't.
Okay, Leo, when I get home, I'll do it.
Now, Shelley.
Okay.
Say Norm is here?
Yeah, I heard you, Leo.
I'm gonna come by the diner sometime today. Be a good girl and send me a piece of pie.
Sure, Leo.
James, you were placed under arrest for suspicion of murder, the murder of Laura Palmer. Now, you have no previous criminal record, is that correct?
No, sir.
Did you shoot this video? It's your cycle, isn't it?
Yes, sir. The three of us went up there two Sundays ago.
James, you were in love with Laura. The two of you were seeing each other secretly. No one else at school or any of her friends knew about it. She was a homecoming queen. She was dating the captain of the football team. How much longer did you think you could keep this relationship a secret?
A secret because that's the way she wanted it.
Why? Was she afraid of Bobby?
I think so.
Did you know she was using cocaine?
Yes.
Did you ever use cocaine with her?
No, I tried to get her to stop. And she did, for a while.
Why did she start using again?
Something happened a couple of days ago.
What happened?
I don't know. I think something scared her because she wouldn't see me. She wouldn't even talk to me.
When was the last time you saw her?
The night she died. She snuck out of her house about 9:30. About 12:30, I stopped the bike to light at Sparkwood and 21. And she jumped off and ran away. I didn't see her again.
Did you and Laura have a fight?
Not exactly. But she said she couldn't see me anymore.
Why?
She didn't say.
You recognize this necklace?
Yes, sir.
James, what happened on February 5th? And who has the other half of this heart?
James, guess why I'm so happy today?
Because your skin is so soft and you smell so good?
No.
Why?
Because I really believe that you love me. Now my heart belongs to you.
I don't know. Jeremy. Where's that shirt?
No!
Hey, Bopper. Since when does Leo Johnson call me at my parents' house?
Leo called you?
Yeah, yesterday. He was looking for you. He wanted to know where the other half of the money was.
What'd you tell him, Snake?
Well, as far as I knew, he didn't have any of it yet. Because I thought the deal was we're supposed to give it to him today.
Yeah, well, I gave him half already.
When'd you see him?
Hey, I saw him the other night, okay?
What night?
The night Laura died. I went to see Leo because I had this money burning a $10,000 hole in my pocket.
What about the other half?
It's in Laura's safe deposit box.
So you didn't get it back from her?
She was supposed to hand it over today, then she went and checked out on us.
So how are we supposed to get 10 grand for Leo?
I don't know, Snake. Maybe we could sell light bulbs door to door.
Oh, that's great. That's just great. This isn't funny, Bobby.
I'm not laughing.
You know, we're lucky. We're lucky we're in jail. Because you know what's going to go down with Leo when we get out of here.
Shut up, man. Oh. Don't mention one word about Leo Johnson. You do not know Leo Johnson.
It's 10:30. Why didn't you wake me? I was supposed to go to the sheriff's office.
They called this morning and said they could wait until tomorrow to see you. Your father and I thought you needed your rest. You woke us crying in your sleep last night. Do you remember?
No. Really?
I feel so badly for you. We're so sorry.
Mom, it's so strange. I know I should be sad. And I am, part of me is. But it's like I'm having the most beautiful dream. And the most terrible nightmare all at once.
Your father said you went out last night to meet a boy named James Hurley. Does this have anything to do with him?
Can this be between you and me?
Of course it can.
James and Laura were seeing each other the last 2 months. I was the only one who knew about it. Mom, James was so good for her. You don't know how troubled Laura was. Last night I had to see him. We were the two closest people in the world to her. But I feel so bad now.
My angel.
Because we realized that all this time, we were the ones falling in love. So I feel like I've betrayed my best friend. And if it's true, was so happy.
Separately or together?
No, no, we can sleep together.
Okay. Hey, Ed. How's that coconut?
Well, it's kind of tender. But my pride hurts worse.
Ed, this is Special Agent Dale Cooper.
Pleasure.
Any relation to James?
I'm his uncle, and he works in my garage. His mother's out of town, and I look after him when she's away. You fellas plan on holding him?
No, we can release him into your custody.
Let me understand. Is James being charged?
Well, I had one small doubt, which he cleared up for me. He didn't kill anybody. But you tell him to be careful, because we're going to have to release Mike and Bobby today as well.
Will do.
Agent Cooper, I've got a call for you from a Mr. Albert Rosenfeld. It sounds like long distance.
Excuse me.
Sure.
It has that open air sound, you know, where it sounds like wind blowing. Like wind blowing through trees.
Yes, Albert.
Harry, I've been thinking about last night at the roadhouse. And something's not right.
Yeah, when I first saw that bandage, I thought maybe old Nadine caught wind of you and Norma.
Harry, if Nadine got wind of me and Norma, I'd be playing harp for the Heavenly All-Stars.
Ain't that the truth?
I was there seeing Norma, but I was also on my stakeout. And I can remember Mike and Bobby grabbing Donna, and I got up to walk over, and I got all lightheaded. I was out on my feet before I got there. I don't even remember getting hit.
What do you mean you don't remember?
Well, I'm pretty sure my beer was drugged. Jacques Renault was tending bar.
All right, Albert, bring the boys. You can have the body all day tomorrow. No, I can't do it. They're going to put her in the ground on Monday. Albert, listen. If you come up through Lewis Fork, I can recommend a place for lunch. The Lamp Lighter Inn. They got a cherry pie there that'll kill you.
What are you doing here, Norma?
I might ask you the same question.
And I will tell you. I've gotten all new drapes for my house. Ed bought them for me yesterday at Gentleman Jim's, and we installed them together. They're a beige sheer. I was up all last night. Do you know what I was doing?
No, I don't.
I was inventing a noiseless, completely silent drape runner. And do you know how it works? Do you know what makes it work? The thing I thought of at 4 this morning when I was waiting for my husband to be released from intensive care? Cotton balls. By God, those things will be quiet now.
Did you have to post bail?
No, I had a talk with Harry. There's no charge.
Mom's still out of town.
Yeah, she's still out of town. Let's get out of here.
Gonna need a hand from the bookhouse boys. Somebody's gotta watch my back.
Already got it covered.
Hi, Mike. Bobby. Well, now, before we get started, have you two fellas got your story straight?
If we tell the truth, we don't have to get our stories straight.
Besides, the sheriff told us we're just in here for fighting, and it was self-defense.
Right. Well, I guess you can go then.
Now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fellas, one more thing. Pray for the health and safety of James Hurley, because if anything happens to him, we're coming for you. Sheriff, what are you sitting around for? We got places to go and people to see.
You know, I think I'd better start studying medicine.
Well, why's that?
Because I'm beginning to feel a bit like Dr. Watson.
On top of the morning to you, Pete.
No, Josie.
The expression is top of the morning. And it's just barely morning.
Pete, I want to thank you for yesterday, for standing up to me with Catherine.
Forget it. Catherine was wrong yesterday. Period.
Oh, thank you anyway.
Yellow.
Pete, it's Harry. I got Agent Cooper with me. We're here to see Mrs. Packard.
We'll make a fresh pot of coffee. Hi, Sheriff.
Mrs. Packard. Dale Cooper, FBI. You remember him from the town meeting last night, I'm sure.
Pleased to meet you, ma'am.
Agent Cooper, you remember Pete Martell.
Sure, Pete. You bet.
Can we offer you gentlemen a cup of Joe?
Mrs. Packard, you said the magic word.
I'd love a cup, thanks.
Sure, I'll pour that for you. Mr. Cooper, how do you take it?
Black as midnight on a moonless night.
Pretty black.
Please sit down.
Thank you.
Mrs. Packard, I'll come straight to the point. Mrs. Packard, I understand that you hired Laura Palmer to come visit you twice a week to help you with your English. Is that correct?
Yes.
When was the last time that you saw her?
A Thursday afternoon, about the time the mill blew 5.
That would be 5 o'clock?
Yes.
And when did she leave?
In an hour, when the lesson was finished. I didn't see her again.
How did she seem to you on Thursday afternoon?
Something was bothering her, but we didn't have a heart-to-heart on it. Something she said, though, that stuck on my mind. She said, "I think now I understand how you feel about your husband's death."
Did she say what that was in reference to?
No. But after what happened to her, I can't help hearing it in my head. Like some haunting melody.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
Certainly. So, Harry, how long have you been seeing her?
How did you know?
Body language.
Jeez Louise. Not long, 6 weeks. Andrew died a year and a half ago.
Fellas, don't drink that coffee. You'd never guess. There was a fish in the percolator. Sorry.
Yes, Catherine, I'm listening.
I just thought you ought to know what your sentimental goodwill shenanigans cost us yesterday. You do know what shenanigans are, don't you?
Shutting down the mill cost us $87,000 and change.
You really think that would have made Brother Andrew happy?
Mrs. Packard?
What is shenanigans?
Nonsense, mischief, often a deceitful or treacherous trick.
Why do you always have to rush off?
Oh, it's been over an hour.
Well, there's a time when we used to take the whole afternoon.
And the sweetness of passing time, this hour, will soon seem like a day.
Sing it to somebody else. I'm no pea-brained chambermaid looking for a tumble in the broom closet.
Sorry. Didn't mean to offend your delicate sensibilities.
Oh, no, my mistake. I've gotten used to our conducting business and pleasure.
Sweetheart, it's all the same to me.
Don't sweetheart me, you old dog. I'm no schoolgirl either. What's the next step? Do we escalate?
We may not have to do anything. A few more local tragedies. And Josie might just run the old mill into the ground all by herself.
Oh, the rate we're going, it's going to be years before the mill's bankrupt. I don't want to wait any longer. Besides, my knothead husband may peek in the ledger and sniff out the creative arithmetic.
Maybe it's time to start a little fire.
Are you talking about business or pleasure?
I'm talking about the Packard sawmill.
That dry timber lying around.
Stray spark. One night.
Some night when Pete's off on a toot with Smokey the Bear.
Now I remember how all those hours turned into days.
Sarah, darling. I'm sorry to disturb you, sweetheart. But Donna Hayward is here. Take this now. I'll send her in. Try not to upset her.
Okay. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I miss her so much. Do you miss her?
Yes, I miss her so much.
I miss her so much. I miss her so much. I miss her so much.
So neither of you saw Ronette after school that day?
That's right.
And as far as you know, she went to her after-school job?
Yes, Horn's department store downtown.
What did she do at the department store?
She was a sales girl at the perfume counter.
She used to joke. It was the sweetest smelling job she'd ever had.
Excuse me.
Thank you.
How many times have I asked you not to disturb the guests with this racket?
About 4,000.
Audrey. Julie tells me that you were in with the Norwegians just before they all suddenly decided en masse to return to the old country without signing the contracts. Is that true?
Yes.
You wouldn't have done or said anything that might have precipitated their evacuation, would you? I mean, I'm assuming that this was just a coincidence.
Huh? Daddy, I did go in there to check out that ridiculous smorgasbord. And while I was in there, I happened to mention that I was sad.
About what?
About my dear close friend Laura being brutally murdered.
Do you realize the kind of money that your little performance just cost this family? If you ever pull another stunt like that, you are going to be scrubbing bidets in a Bulgarian convent.
Oh, Daddy, I'm so afraid.
Laura died 2 days ago. I lost you years ago.
For what we are about to receive, may the Lord make us truly thankful.
Amen.
Robert, I was hoping we'd have the chance to discuss the events of the past few days. Not necessarily the physical events themselves, but rather the thoughts and feelings surrounding. Rebellion in a young man your age is a necessary fact of life. Candidly, a sign of strength. In other words, Robert, I respect your rebellious nature. However, being your father, I am obligated to contain that fire of contrariness within the bounds established by society, as well as those within our own family structure. Robert, I note your reluctance to enter into a dialogue with me, your father. There are times when silence is golden. Silence can be taken many ways as a sign of intelligence. The quieter we become, the more we hear. Now, I am a tolerant man, but my patience has its limits. To have his path made clear is the aspiration of every human being in our beclouded and tempestuous existence. And Robert, you and I are going to work to make yours real clear.
We're here for you, Bobby. Can I get you anything to go with that, Sheriff?
Agent Cooper here might want to try a slice of that pie.
A cherry pie?
Best in the Tri-Counties.
Mm. And could you ask Norma to stop by a second, Shelley?
Sure.
Nothing's a sure thing, Shelley.
Man, I still can't get the taste of that fish-filtered coffee out of my mouth.
Me neither.
Is Shelley Johnson with a J?
Mm-hmm. Husband's a trucker, Leo. Minor rap sheet.
Log lady.
Right.
Hi.
Can I ask her about our log?
Many have.
Evening, Harry.
Huh?
Karma, I'd like to have you meet Special Agent Dale Cooper.
Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Norma Jennings.
Now, Ms. Jennings, is it true that Laura Palmer used to help you with the Meals on Wheels program, delivering hot dinners to elderly shut-ins?
Yeah, Laura helped organize that program.
Do you have the names of the people on her route?
I can get them for you.
Would you please? And two more pieces of this incredible pie.
Okay.
Man, oh man, you must have the metabolism of a bumblebee.
For your information, I heard you speaking about Laura Palmer.
Yes?
One day, my log will have something to say about this. My log saw something that night.
Really? What did it see?
Ask it. I thought so.
Brought you some pie.
Where's my shirt?
What shirt?
My favorite blue shirt. It's the second one you lost this year. I'm gonna teach you a lesson now, Shelley, about taking care of my property. That means making sure things aren't lost or damaged.
Well,
this is gonna hurt you.
No. I'll get it. Mom, Dad, this is James, James Hurley.
How do you do, James?
Nice to see you, sir. Mrs. Hayward.
Very nice to meet you, James.
Well, I hope you're hungry. Eileen's been cooking up a storm.
Yes, sir.
Would you like something to drink? We have some soft drinks and some fruit punch, some sparkling cider.
Fruit punch, that'd be good, thank you.
I'll get it. Okay. Why don't you fellas sit down at the table and I'll go check on the roast.
Thanks, Donna.
I don't believe I know your parents, James.
No, sir. My dad died when I was 10, and my mom travels a lot. She writes for the paper sometimes.
Huh. Ed Hurley down at the gas farm is James's uncle.
His wife's the lady with the patch.
Yes, sir. That's my Aunt Nadine. She's a real character.
excuse me.
We can talk after dinner.
It's good to see you.
It's good to see you too.
That bastard.
First your girlfriend, then mine.
Too bad we can only kill him once.
Hey, what's up, Doc? It's Laura Palmer, in case you haven't guessed. I'm making you another one of these tapes, which, as you already know, I've mailed to you in one of the envelopes you gave me. It's Thursday, the 23rd, and I'm so bored. Actually, I'm in kind of a weird mood. God, James is sweet, but he's so dumb.
I should have met you a long time ago, Dr. Jacoby, because right now I can take just so much of sweet. I just know I'm gonna get lost in those woods again tonight.